شكراً يا ربي شكراً.
مركز صحابة أونلاين راديو serving you wherever you are.
घर से डोला चला लाडली का क्या क्या नजारा है ये जिंदगी का घर से डोला चला लाडली का क्या क्या नजारा है ये जिंदगी का कितने नाजों से पाला था हमने हर तरह से संभाला था हमने हाय हमसे जुदा हो रही है हाय हमसे जुदा हो रही है घर की यादों में वो खो रही है
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم It's a beautiful Tuesday morning It's the bliss of marriage part 1 You know that every Tuesday is between 11 to 12 It's part 1 And every Tuesday is between Every Wednesday is between 11 to 12 It's part 2 My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia On this beautiful cold Tuesday morning I see my beloved Fadilatul Ustad has just entered the studio Full of smiles We've got some mashallah visitors this morning. I see Haji Abu Yusuf. I see our beloved engineer, Haji Riyaz Hussein, just surprising us this morning. He says Malani is on leave. And we see one of our beloved listeners as well. Other listeners of Markaz Sahaba, Haji Suleiman Karoja. I want to welcome my beloved engineer, of course, Brother Bonface. I want to welcome the beloved listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal and company. And I want to welcome the beloved listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Remember, our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. The 26th of Shawwal, 1442, which is also the 8th of June, 2021. Let's welcome our senior Ustad into the show. Ustad, welcome to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad from Azadville says, can nikah be performed if the bride is menstruating? Ustad, anonymous sister.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will give three responses and three answers. Today is the 26th of Shawwal. So you know Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's honorable wife, Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha states, Inna Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tazawwaja bi fi shawwal. Habibuna, the master alayhi salatu salam's nikah with me, Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha, took place during Shawwal. And the hadith is authentic in Tirmidhi Sharif. She, our mother Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, who encouraged her family members to get married during Shawwal. So you want to get married today, tomorrow, Thursday, Friday. So that is Shawwal. Friday night, inshallah, once the moon is sighted, the crescent is sighted, will usher in the month of Zulqa'dah. So you still have 3-4 days. Second issue is, if the lady is in menses, is the nikah valid? Yes, the nikah is valid. There's no problem with that. However, third point, that when a person gets married and intends getting married, the date of the nikah and so forth, best is leave it to the ladies' party. Why? Because they know and she knows when she'll be clean, when she'll be in the haiz and so forth. So for you as the husband and the groom, you are married and now you go for Laylatul Zifaf, your wedding night, and then they say red robot, red flag. So you will be also disappointed and so forth and so on. So therefore, the nikah is valid. There's no problem with that. But better, desirable, meritorious would be that tell her and her family to calculate this thing, with the, decide the date and so forth. And then you just agree with that. Then you won't be disappointed, inshallah.
A sister wants to know, Ustad, from Johannesburg. Dear Mufti Saab, is my son-in-law my mahram? Alhamdulillah, he's like my own son. He's young. Ustad, anonymous.
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us in Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 23, where Almighty Allah mentions the list of the ladies you cannot marry. Your mother you can't marry, your daughter you can't marry, your sister. One is mentioned, wa ummahatu nisaikum, and your wife's mother, what we call mother-in-law. So your son-in-law will be your mahram forever. Even your daughter, I'm just giving example obviously, she passes away and dies before you, before the mother. So you, the son-in-law and the mother-in-law, you're mahram to one another. You can travel together and so forth. However, in this day and this age where there are so much fitnas going on and so forth, if there is fear of hanky-panky business between son-in-law and mother-in-law, then remember, it's haram for them to be alone or to travel alone and so forth. Yes, your son-in-law is your mahram in normal circumstances, but sometime we have abnormal circumstances, then there you must exercise caution.
Somebody says that, why do Muslims perform aqiqah from Lanesha, Ustad?
MashaAllah, what you must do is that last week Thursday, we had a program, Maulana Zahid Khan and myself, regarding Ahammiyatul Asma fil Islam, the importance of our names. Maulana Arafat's name, Arafat, my name, Abdul Qadir, like that. So remember the importance of name. This was last week Thursday, 4 or 5 days ago. And 10 or 12 days ago, we had the importance of Ahammiyatul Aqiqah fil Islam. So what you should do, brother, sister, send me a message, a WhatsApp message, and we will send you the podcast of both the programs, so you will listen to all the stories and all the important issues related to aqiqah. So in Islam, today is Tuesday, 26th of Shawwal, and you must write it down also, what time, what date, and everything Islamically the baby was born and so forth. And now when the baby is born, first day, the day the baby is born, Adhan in the right ear, Iqama in the left ear, and then Tahniq. Tahniq means we take the date, we chew it, and insert it into the baby's mouth, the palate you put upwards. They will touch the palate. So that's why it's called Tahniq, Hannaka. So anyway, then today is Tuesday. So next week, Monday, is the seventh day. So that day you make aqiqah, 2 goats or 2 sheep for a boy, or 1 goat, 1 sheep for a girl. So why do we do so? Multi reasons. Reason number one, thanksgiving to Almighty Allah. Chapter number 42, verses 49-50. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ ذُكُورٌ أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكُرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا. Allah has blessed you with a daughter. Allah bless you with a son. Allah bless you with sons and daughters. So subhanallah, if you know the Arabic and terminology of Quran, yahabu, it's a gift. I give Maulana Arafat this watch. I give him this Quran Sharif. I give him this book, whatever. So remember that is that he appreciates it. He gets happy. This is a gift, a divine gift from the Almighty Allah. So we must show our gratitude. So we slaughtered the goats or the sheep. That is 2 goats, 2 sheep for boy, or 1 goat, 1 sheep for the girl. Shukran lillahi azza wa jalla. To thank Almighty Allah for his ever recurring bounties, favors upon us. So that's number one. Number two is this. Amitu anhul azah. Whatever harm was intended for this baby, So, and the child, so now it will be diverted and averted. It will be removed from this baby. And third one, it's a happy occasion. So now you want to invite your family, you want to give your family, your friends, the poor people. So best is that you make three parts, not compulsory, but best. One third you keep for yourself, one third for your family, friends, one third for the poor people. That's a different academic issue. That, remember, who must you give out the aqiqah meat, like the qurbani meat? So the Hanafis say the recipient of aqiqah qurbani meat can be Muslim or non-Muslim. And the Shafis and them say that no, it must be a Muslim only. So all this you will learn, just send me a WhatsApp message, 071-888-1184. Don't make long stories, just write there one word, aqiqah, and we'll send you the podcast, and you will learn, inshallah, all the necessary details that pertain to aqiqah and naming the baby and so forth and so on.
I see the brother says, Mufti Saab, I need advice from you. And if Mufti Saab can give the answer on the airwaves, then inshallah, I will get married to this girl, Ustad. The brother says, is being a non-Muslim a son? I want to marry my neighbor who is a non-Muslim, but my parents are refusing, dear Mufti Saab. She is a Hindu girl with great values. Ustad.
You must remember where our constitution is the noble Quran. And that constitution comprises 114 chapters, 6,236 verses. Then explained and expounded on by the master Mustafa Rahmatul Lil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, chapter 16, verse 44. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ And we, that is Almighty Allah, revealed to you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thus reminded the Quran Sharif. Why? لِتُبَيِّنَا لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ So you explain to the people in detail what is revealed for them. وَلَأَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ And so that they wonder, ponder and reflect over it. So chapter 16, verse 44. Now let us see what Quran says. Surah 60, verse 10. If a Muslim lady wants to marry any non-Muslim male, a Jew, a Christian, a Hindu, Buddhist, totally haram, and if she goes ahead and she will lose the iman, she'll become murtadda, she's rejecting this verse. So remember that in a case like that, it's not permissible for the Muslim lady to marry the non-Muslim male. Your question is, you are a Muslim male till now, but you want to marry a mushrika, idol worshipper, Hindu lady. So Almighty Allah states in Surah 2, verse 221. Surah chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 221. وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنَ You cannot marry her. And remember, until and unless she becomes a Muslimah and she embraces Islam. I ask you three questions. Hypothetically, for argument's sake, you get married to her. What will happen to your children? That they all will become Hindus and Mushrik. Do you want that to happen? One. Two, she will bring all her idols and everything in your house. Do you want all that to happen? So you should think properly. And if you go ahead and do so, and you say it's permissible, then remember you, my brother, Ahmed, Muhammad, whatever your name is, Abdullah, Abdul Qadir, you're a murtad out of the fold of Islam. So your parents are saying 100% right. And if you go ahead, then we will tell your parents, they must kick you out completely, excommunicate you totally, and have nothing to do with you, because you have turned traitor against Almighty Allah, against Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, you want to marry her, then tell her she must become Muslimah, and then she must leave all what she worships in, all the idols, demigods, semigods, and you get somebody, your mother, sister, to teach her about Islam, and then you perform nikah, then it's fine and permissible.
brother's name is Uzair, and he says, but Mufti Sahib, she has great values, Ustad.
Yes, what's the sense of having great values when she's worshipping idols, my brother? So remember that the foundation is the belief structure. Everything else is secondary. So I gave you the answer, so you must forget her if she don't want to embrace Islam. And if you go ahead, then you out of the fold of Islam. Because the way you praising her, as though as you must remember, she's the only lady in the world.
Let's go to Escort to start. Can you let me know the Islamic reason why men and women should be separated at weddings, nikah, receptions? Is there a hadith to this effect? Is it a sunnah to start?
Remember that in Islam, we promote and advocate purity, chastity at all times. So all, write it down, Surah 24, Surah Nur. Therefore, our mother, Siddiqa, Sayyida Aisha, radiallahu anha, used to say, Allimu nisa'akum surat an-nur. Teach your female surah nur. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala wrote a letter to the people of Iraq when he was Khalifa Amirul Mu'mineen. And subhanallah, he echoed the sentiments of Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha and said, you the people of Iraq, teach your women folk surah nur. So there in Surah Nur, chapter 24, verses 30-31, Almighty Allah states, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing men that they must lower their gazes, وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ, and protect their private parts. The next verse, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْدُدْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. Tell the believing women that they must lower their gazes and protect their private parts. So how will that happen? So you must remember, if you allow everybody to intermingle and everybody dear makar, then how? It won't happen like that. So you must have total separation. Not only during weddings and all that, at all time, even when visitors come to our house, that we put the men one side and the women one side. Because remember, once you allow the Western system to come, so let us juxtapose and compare it with the Western system. So now the husband got his best friend. And he tells his best friend, you must come and visit me. Then he goes to the bathroom. He goes out to the shop job. He'll leave his friend there with his wife. Then suddenly, after 1 month, 6 months, that wife ran away with the husband's best friend. So Islam, when it solves a problem, it's not like the kuffar system, you go from the top, from the fruits. Islam goes right to the bottom, to the roots, and says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Do not even go near fornication and adultery. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَا. It is something obscene, indecent. And therefore, Islam says it's compulsory. There must be segregation between male and female. We can't even touch the female's hand to shake hands with her in Islam. Totally haram and unacceptable. Why? ذَلِكُمْ أَطْهَرُ لِقُلُوبِكُمْ وَقُلُوبِهِنْ. It is purer for your heart, the man, and purer for her heart as well. The kuffar, secular, democratic dispensation, you make eye contact, you smile with one another, then you shake hands, and then you say, oh, Popey, give me your cell phone number. Then I will give you some purpose, you see. Then you start exchanging gifts, and then you soft with one another, and then one thing leads, and then zina, fornication takes place. So yesterday one person wrote something very nice. Mm-hmm. He said the whole world is saying vaccine for corona. How come HIV is 20, 30, 40 years in the world? For that they never found no virus. They don't have found now no vaccine. But for this, they found already. So this is how they pull the wool over your eyes. So when you have a society where total intermingling is taking place, then remember you have so much AIDS and so many problems like that. So that is the consequence of what they are doing. So therefore, Islam says totally haram and unacceptable.
Let's go to chat to start. Move this up. I would like to know if it is permissible for one's brother-in-law, it got in brackets, sister's husband, to be a witness for the nikah. The girl getting married has a father and brother and no other mahrams to represent her as the third witness. Please advise Ustad.
So why you need him? You don't need him. So you are the daughter, right? Now you are getting married. So you tell your father he must be the wakil. So he will act on your behalf, your representative. Then you got your brother, so he is the first witness. And then your father can be the wakil and can be the shahid. He can be the witness as well. So you don't need your sister's husband and all that. He's total stranger to you. Between you and him, you must remember that your parda, hijab, all compulsory. So although it will be permissible, we don't say it's not permissible, but I'm telling you what will be better for you to do. So in a case like that, you, the lady, you're getting married tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, whenever. So in a case, and if you're getting married now this week, yeah, then Moana Arafat has a program on Fridays, mashallah, between 10 and 10:30. Send him all your details and Maulana will announce it on Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, mashallah. So remember that we are advising you what is better for you. So your father, you tell him, oh Abi, oh father, you become my wakil and you become my witness, and your brother will become the second witness. So that the problem is solved, and no problem with that, then totally acceptable.
So till what age, Ustaz, can we make akikah for our children?
Remember, very good question, and I answered that in our program 10, 12 days ago and so forth. So if you want that, just send me message and 071-888-1184. The Shafi'i scholars say, yeah, there are three different issues. The Shafi'is, Hanbalis and them say, till the baby reaches the age of puberty. He's 5 years old, 7 years old, 8, 9, 10, like that. So you can do the akikah. But once he or she, he the boy is Abu Bakr, that he got ihtilam. You must remember he had a wet dream. The girl, Fatima, Zainab, Aisha, whoever, she started menses. So la aqiqata ba'd al-bulugh. So once they attain and obtain the age of puberty, then there is no aqiqah. That is the Shafi'i, Hanbali and their school. Hanafi say, as long as you're alive, you can make aqiqah, there's no problem. Easy example I give you today. Alfred, our brother, in the morning became Muslim. And with Allah's help and Allah's mercy, I don't know him, but alhamdulillah, he said, make me Muslim now and now, because I tried to commit suicide 15 times, and always I was unsuccessful. Allah's mercy came to him. Allah kept on giving him a different chance, opportunity, and he embraced Islam. He chose the name Adnan in Marisburg. So anyway, we were put up in the Marisburg. Anyway, now the point I'm making, he's 25, 35, 40, 45 years old. So he says, I want to do akikah. So what we will say? Yes, do your akikah, slaughter two goats or two sheep, and especially according to the Hanafi school. So Hanafi say, whether you are a minor or whether you are mature and so forth, remember akikah is still valid for boy and for girl, male and female. However, all the jurors and scholars agree that once a person passes away, that baby left for 3 years, 5 years, 7, 8 years, and then passed away, then there's no akikah. So three maslas. One, the Shafi'is, Hanbalis and them say, akikah, the final time is till the person attained the age of puberty. After that, there's no akikah. So while he is still, you know, nabaligh, a minor, make the akikah. Hanafi say, anytime while you're alive, the sooner you do it, the better it is, obviously. So then you do the akikah. And everybody agrees, there's consensus, that if the person passed away, then there's no akikah. So these are the basic rules and laws that you must understand and comprehend properly.
A listener says, Mufti Sahab, sorry to ask this, can husband and wife send each other inappropriate pictures? For example,
remember, not permissible that. You must remember all that is shaitaniyat, especially nowadays with the internet and all that. You want to send yourself half naked, three quarter naked, and she sends you. You by mistake, it goes to somebody else. Oh, you must remember, it then gets leaked out on the internet. Mm. So imagine all the haya, shame, all gone. So your wife is parading naked there, three quarter naked, million thousand people can see. You are parading naked and all that, and everybody can see. So totally haram, this type of thing. See, I show you what Islam teaches us. Habibuna, open Mishkat Sharif, you will find. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Iyakum wa ta'arriya, abstain from nudity, even when you're alone. Even when you're alone in your house, you say, no, today I want to walk in my birthday suit. You understand? kalkhat, you know, totally naked. You know, students in Afrikaans, they use words like that. So you must remember that totally naked and so forth. So in the passage here and there, it's not permissible. Why? Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Iyakum wa ta'arriya fa inna ma'akum man la yufarikukum. That you have hukukullah, the rights of Allah over you. You have hukukul anbiya, the rights of the anbiya, prophets and messengers, the right of Nabi alayhi salam over you. You have hukukul malaika, the rights of the angels over you. Why we say smoking is haram and not permissible? You come to the masjid, you cause harm to the muswallis. You desecrate the sanctity of the masjid. You cause harm to the malaika and farishtas and angels. Same thing here, that you are doing this. Now imagine when you send all these naughty, naughty, naked, nude photos and all these type of things. So since when that can be justified? All this is because our thought process, our thinking faculty nowadays, I always give the example, Bilal, things like Bali. And Maryam, things like Mary. So the Muslim is Muslim, but the thinking and thought process is just like that of the Kuffar. So therefore, that is totally unacceptable.
Ustad, the listener wants to know, seductive text, just text
message. All that you must remember, best is you abstain from all. You just send message, I love you, missing you, all that. But all this, what you are suggesting, that other kind of things, no, you must stay away. Because it can leak many times, you must remember that. Then people will start blackmailing you and lot of things.
Did they not Muslim?
See, I give you an example. Mm-hmm. I give you one example. One friend came to this other friend and he stayed there one night, two night and that. Then he sent the message, thank you for I use your wife and all that and it was very good and this and all these type of things. And then he went away. Then after 1-2 days or 1-2 hours, then he realized he's supposed to say, thanks, I use your Wi-Fi. But instead of the Wi-Fi word going to that friend, the word wife went. Now you see the problems is going to cause. So you must remember that that person will think his friend came there and he, the friend, and his wife, or something was happening. Therefore, we have to be so careful in these things here. Because wife and wife, I know when we go for Hajj, you know. So when you come to Makkah, Medina, no problem, alhamdulillah. But when you come to Azizia, then there things are not so 100%. So the Wi-Fi don't work in the room. You have to come downstairs, you see. So people ask me, what are you doing here? Because they know I normally don't like to stay there. I say, no, the wife is on top and the Wi-Fi is at the bottom, you see. So this type of thing here. So then they all get a message like that. So therefore, I'm telling you that you stay away from all these funny things of yours.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I see there's a non-Muslim ustad says that, sir, I eloped with a Muslim girl. She is now pregnant. And her family says if I don't become Muslim, they will have us both killed by stones in public. And if I become Muslim, then the same would happen from my side of the family. What is the way forward? Anonymous ustad.
Remember, this is all emotional talk and all that. Both of you are guilty. You must remember that. So in Islam, in a true Islamic country, which we don't have today, and that is the truth, we have Muslim countries. We don't have any Islamic country. So remember that where the male-female eloped, illicit relationship, then chapter 24, verse 2, and Almighty Allah states, "Azaniyat wa zani, fajdidu kulla wahidi minhuma miyata jalda." That what you must do is you take both of them because they're admitting to their guilt and give them 100 lashes. So for you, 100 lashes, for her, 100 lashes, because both of you are guilty. And you must remember this will be done in public, not some hidden place. And wala ta'khudhkum bima ra'fatun fi dinillah. Don't show them mercy and compassion. This is Almighty Allah who is Arhamur Rahimeen, the most merciful one to show mercy. So Islam says it must be a deterrent. So you make few people a sample example and the whole society will become straight. That what they are speaking about is the case of adultery. It's not adultery, it's fornication. So they're mixing and confusing issues. So our message to you, both parties must make, you must remember, repent. You understood? So you're both guilty of a major crime. Then second step must be that you, your name is Tom, Dick and Harry, right? So you must embrace Islam. And then immediately the nikah, the marriage ceremony will take place. Then the child will still be a harami child, illegitimate child, and the lineage will go to the mother according to the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, majority jurists and scholars of Islam. However, only the Hanafi school, Imam Abu Hanifa and him say, if you become Muslim and you marry her, this lady here who you impregnated, then after you become Muslim, then the nikah, we see from date of nikah to date of the birth of the baby. So if 6 months or more passes, then the lineage of the baby will go to you as the father. But if it is less than 6 months, then remember the lineage will go to the mother. That is Imam Abu Hanifa's wording. But majority say, in all cases, remember that whether it's 6 months, 7 months, whatever, or 3 months, that in all cases, the lineage of the baby goes to the mother because the harami, it is a B, illegitimate child. So the first step you have to do, both parties repent. Second step, you have to become Muslim. Third step, you must remember, will be that you get married immediately. And then you live as husband and wife. Then other children you will get, that will be halal and permissible, lineage will come to you. Your problem is that your family or whoever are intimidating you. If you embrace Islam, they will want to kill you and so forth. You are living in South Africa, so it is freedom of religion, so nobody can impose upon you. So you are 20, 25 years old, brother. So remember that is just all big talk, you understand? So how you are a male and you are, you know, somebody that got common sense also, but remember, so you have to make the right decision. So my advice to you, you become Muslim and tell your family, it's my decision and nobody can touch me and so forth, and anybody tries to intimidate you, assault you, you lay a charge against them with the police and say that these people are doing this. You must remember you get a restriction order and so forth against them, and they can't come near you and so forth. So that is my advice to you in this regard. So all that is hot air people are blowing. But as a brother, I don't know you. But both of you committed a major crime and both of you need to be punished. But we don't have the authority to do so yet. So repent to Almighty Allah and become Muslim and get married immediately to her.
Somebody says, Ustad, my husband plucks my white hair out. He says he got enough white hairs for both of us, and I must look young for him. If I say Muftis have said we shouldn't, he insists, and I can't win. Ustad, anonymous.
So you must remember that is not Muftis have said, is Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, la tantifu shayb, do not remove and pluck out the white hair. For innahu nurul Muslim. It is, you must remember, the radiance, the effulgence, the nur for a Muslim. Authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad. So you must tell your husband the following. Number one, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. No wife, no person has to be obedient to another creation. So when it leads to a sin against the creator, the husband says you must do ABC, but you know it's haram. So for you to go ahead with it is also haram, and the sin will be on him and on you if you agree with it. So there is no obedience to parents, to husband, to wife, to children, to teacher, to king, prime minister, president, anybody, when it leads to a sin against the creator. Your question, sister, I want to show you, and I want you, my sister, you should make a note of this. And remember, every one of you listening on Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and on Sirius FM, write this verse down. I told them on air that this plucking of the white hair and that is not permissible. And I mentioned and cited the hadith, لا تنتفو شيء فإنه نور المسلم. So now the wife tells the husband, but this is what he, Mufti Sahib, said. And he says, you don't come and tell me, and I'll do my own thing. So when people deliberately, intentionally, dida danista, in Urdu we say, That you must remember you go against the laws of Almighty Allah, against the law of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Surah 24. See, again we're back with Surah 24, Surah Nur. Therefore our mother said, Siddiqa, Sayyid Aisha, Allimu nisaakum Surah An-Nur. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us, do this. He tells us, don't do that. We go deliberately, intentionally, and do the opposite. No, I do what I feel like. So Surah 24, Surah Nur, and verse number 63. Surah chapter 24, verse 63. So write it down, all of you. Surah chapter 24, verse 63. فَلْيَحَذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ. Those people should beware who go against the command of the Master, alayhi salam. He says, do this, do that. You say, no, I'll do what I feel like. أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ fitna. Such a calamity will befall you, either kufr, either shirk, either nifaq. So that person, you must remember, if he continues like that, then he's inviting kufr, blasphemy. We don't say he's a non-Muslim, but he's inviting. He's inviting nifaq and hypocrisy. That is the fitna, calamity that will come hold, get hold of him. Oh, you see, bahum adabun alim. Oh, a painful, terrible, horrible punishment awaits him. Surah chapter 24, verse 63. So you show your husband that verse there. That is like mocking and rejecting the sunnah teaching. Sunnah means the hadith here. So it is haram to do this type of things here. And you're undermining the importance of the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, and then make sarcastic remarks that I got enough white hair for both of us. So what is that? You're trying to make a mockery of the hadith. So you can lose your iman and go right out of the fold of Islam. So we need to be extremely circumspect and cautious and careful in this regard.
It's 18 minutes to 12. You are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage. I see a couple wants to know, Ustad, I don't know if Mufti Saab heard about this, where people are advertising the Ascendant Quran, Ustad, by Imam Asi. Must we purchase this, or should we give it to somebody, Ustad, to anybody, Ustad, anonymous?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I met him personally. I'll give you three things which very few people know. That he, when I was in America in 2000, so I was now going after Ramadan and Eid, now I was going to Canada. So we had to come to Washington and the Dallas airport. So it was, I don't know which day the flight was and that. But anyway, if you go to the main, like one of the main streets in Washington, where all the embassies are and so forth, there is one big masjid. They say it was built by the Turks and so forth. So I said, very good, I'll read Jummah Salat there. So when I was going in, so I noticed on the right-hand side, I can still picture it vividly, this is 2000 December or so. So, and I can remember that he was outside. It was very, very cold. You know, December, January, they're very cold. It's snowing and a lot of stories. And they had that big, big speakers, about 20, 30 people were there with him. So I asked, who's this character here? He's speaking. They say, Asi. So I said, oh, I know him from South Africa. That in the long weekends, you know, the Easter weekend, they used to have Ishtima, you know. And then in Pretoria, they used to have big, big meetings. So sometime I said, let me go hear these people, what they have to say. So his theme was always one. Even there, I stopped a little bit to hear what he's saying. His theme was always to attack the Arabs and so forth, and especially Saudi Arabia and this and that, and to speak good about the Shias at Iran and so forth and all. So he, without a doubt, is a sympathizer of the Shias. That is the Asi. You see, that's one thing you must know. Second one, is it permissible for us, the Sunnis, Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to buy, to sell, to promote, to advocate it? Totally haram, unacceptable. You must remember that. Any person who's a Shia, Shia the Kufar, 100%, there's no question about that. And then you get other people who are sympathizers of Shia. So Quran says, Surah 5, verse number 2, وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. You must not cooperate and assist in sin and transgression. The English can be good, the message can be good, that doesn't matter. If you are, okay, then let me tell you a third thing. So he, long time ago in the 90s, that time he wasn't so famous. So my students who studied at Darul Ulum Newcastle, So they were the ones that they were the imam and all that in that masjid. And they didn't know much also about him. So anyway, that some people said that he will give a talk in this masjid here. So they asked, so I said, his name is Asik. See, so now in your khutbah, because he won't make the khutbah namaz, you're going to do that, he'll just give the lecture. So in your khutbah, you must bring in this saying, this couplet of Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. So I'm reading for you the whole couplet. Shakautu ila, Imam Shafi'i said this. Imam Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i. If you go to Diwanu Shafi'i also, you will find it. Shakautu ila waki'in su'a hifdi. I went to my teacher and complained to him, Waki bin Jarrah. My memory is getting weak, O Ustad. Shakautu ila waki'in su'a hifdi. فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكِ الْمَعَاصِي. And he gave me advice and said, don't commit sins, stay away from sins. Then Allah will give you a powerful retentive memory. فَإِنَّ الْإِلْمَ نُورٌ مِّنْ إِلَٰهِ. Because the knowledge of Quran Sharif and Sunnah Mubarakah is noor, is radiance, is effulgence from Almighty Allah. Now see the last two. فَإِنَّ الْإِلْمَ نُورٌ مِّنْ إِلَٰهِ وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُوْطَى لِعَاصِي. And his name is Asi. You see? So you must remember that. And the nur of Allah is not given to people who commit vices and sins. He will say Asi there. Doesn't mean the sinner. It means the tribe of Bani As and that. But we turned it around. So I said, you include that portion in the khutbah. And he will understand the message properly. So you must remember, when these people come, we don't know who's promoting them and what. But our fatwa is very clear. Shias are kuffar. If you want, ask him in a public forum in front of 100,000 people. Don't give long stories. Just answer these three questions here. What do you say of a person who swears Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, and Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa, and Sayyidina Sahaba, 90% are murtad and out of the follow Islam? Are such people Muslim or Kuffar? First question. Second question, what do you say of those people who say that the Quran, the real Quran, is there by Deya Mahdi, who's there in the cave for almost 1200 years? And in Usulul Kafi, their most authentic book of the Kuffar Shia, is mentioned there that there are 17,000 verses. What do you say about people like that? Third one, what do you say of Khomeini? Khomeini is a Kafir, non-Muslim. He states in his book, I have so many books of his. I have so many books of the Shias they gave me. And they used to send to me also, because I used to communicate with them. Abdul Qadir Husseini. And they were sure I'm a Shia. So they used to send me so many books. So I still got it, mashallah. And there Khomeini writes in Tawdi'ul Masail that you make mut'ah for 1 hour. Prostitution for 1 hour. So what you say of a person who's promoting mut'ah, prostitution for 1 hour? Is Muslim or non-Muslim? Just tell us there. Don't have a long story. Such people are Muslim or non-Muslim. Then shall the proper dance. Then you see what will happen to him. So all these sympathizers of the Shias, so, and those Maulvis and Sheikhs and Imam who don't want to speak against them because they get money from the Shias or the sympathizers. So think properly. That what are you doing? وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ. Allah Ta'ala took a pledge from the people who have the knowledge of Quran and Sunnah and so forth. لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ. You're going to explain the deen to the people properly and clearly in detail. And wala taktumuna, you won't conceal and hide, and you won't make long stories and to mislead the people. But what they did, فَنَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُرِهِمْ. They put that behind their backs, وَاشْتَرَوْ بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. And they sold the deen of Allah in exchange of a meager sum, scholars for dollars, for money, for material gain and benefit, to curry favor with governments and politicians. فَبِئْسَ مَا يَشْتَرُونَ. What a horrible, terrible transaction you did. You sold your iman. Allah Allah Jalla Wala protect us. If you just understood the rudiments and the basics of the Arabic language, then you will know that what a wa'id and what a warning that is. Chapter number 3, Surah Al-Imran, verse 187. So therefore, it's haram. Last night after Q&A, that because I was sending out messages, one lawyer sent me that. He said, this is permissible. I said, absolutely haram. You cannot buy it. You cannot sell it. You cannot promote it. And remember, then I told him, Shia is a kuffar, and their sympathizers must be exposed as well. So he told me, you know, send it out. I say, send it out to whoever you want to. You must remember that. That is our clear verdict on this issue.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody says, Ustaz, so the government wishes to introduce certain laws to curtail various religious rights, Ustad. What do we do in this situation, Ustad?
Yes, you must remember that. I see some other organizations also are waking up now only, that we already sorted this thing out last week with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah, Hadha Min Fadli Rabbi. So anybody wants that, what response they must give and do, so contact me, and just by they put their religious laws, like they just put 2-3 words, new religious laws or what have you. So don't put long story, and we'll send everything to you. And that is under our banner of Darul Iman. We say, Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And that our number, if you want to ask questions even now, 084-786-3132. So that is for Markaz Sahaba. And you want to become a member of Darul Iman, then you just send a message, your name, your town, your phone number, or your email, or whatever, 084-786-3130. 084-786-3130. And automatically you will be, whether you're from South Africa, any country, no problem. You understand? So anybody, you can join in, no problem. So under the banner, and we say Darul Iman, the voice of the voiceless. What we say? The voice of the voiceless. So you see, now for things like this, this organization was formed by senior ulama, and they told me I must become a member. So I said, fine, 100%. Anything for haq, we are prepared to do. So Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So we prepared something with the help and mercy of Allah. We sent it out. Thousands of people received it already with the help and mercy of Allah. And you will see that there are 3 parts to it. I sent it to you also, Muharrafat. Yeah, you sent it out also. MashaAllah. So we must then send it out to everybody. So what must you do? You fill in your name, your details, and you raise your objections, everything, and then you submit it. So everything is written there. So that is what you do. And you can just fill in the template and so forth. And thereafter, you just submit it. So that is compulsory. Imagine that they want to fiddle and interfere with our religious rights and so forth. And it's not only Islam and Muslims. It is across the board, whether it's Christian, whether it's Jew, whether it's Hindu, whether it's Buddhist or whatever. So all religions, we are saying, must stand up. And their leaders, but especially for us as Muslims, we cannot start dreaming and thinking now. We have to act and be proactive rather than become reactionary. And let me tell you one more thing. If nothing is going to help and they still go ahead, then this matter will go to court. And with Darul Iman, Hadha Min Fadli Rabbi, we have the senior Muslim lawyers of South Africa on our side with Allah's help. We have Hafiz Advocate Firoz Boda, senior counsel. We have Brother Zahir Umar. We have his beloved son, Advocate Abu Bakr. We have, MashaAllah, Yusuf Dokrat, senior attorney. We have Yusha Tayyip. So these are the cream, you must remember. So they're all part of us with Allah's help and Muslim Lawyers Association and so forth. So inshallah, we hope sanity prevails and all this is withdrawn. But if it's not, then remember we'll have to go to court. Because you know in South Africa, we got the other people. You know other people, the friends of the court and the enemies of Allah. Last year, Ramadan time, that day when we went to court to try and get the masjid open, they went to court to close the masjid, you see. So people like that, we got no time with this associate. Nahnu bari'un minhum. We totally got nothing to do with them. So therefore, we have our own organizations to protect and promote and advocate what is the truth of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah according to Quran Sharif, according to Sunnah Mubarakah, and to protect the honor and integrity of every Sahabi, companion of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we believe in the Awliyaullah, and we follow the four schools. That, in a nutshell, is Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So we beg you to make dua that Almighty Allah keeps and preserves our religious freedom,
Ameen.
And it is not curtailed in any way. So that is where we are now currently. And on a lighter note, I say that they always say the second wave is coming. Now they say the third wave is coming. All these waves they can see, but the wave of corruption, that they don't see. Millions taken around their beneath their noses. Billions taken here and there. That they can't see. You understood? But they want to interfere in our religious matters and so forth. Allah Jalla Wala have mercy on us and protect us.
I see what Bank says, dear Mufti Saab, we really love Darul Iman and we are with you. But how come some ulama, they are not with Darul Iman? Ustad, the voice of the voiceless.
Remember, my brother, when you speak the truth, then remember, you know the surah, watawasaw bilhaq, that invite people to the truth, but the truth is always bitter. So, watawasaw bilhaqi, watawasaw bisabr. You got it? That's why I told you, our aim must be to please Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, to please Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wallahu wa Rasuluhu ahakku ay yurduhu in kanu mu'minin. So when your aim is to do that, that's a sign of your iman. But when you worry about governments and politicians and people and supporters, we don't worry about these things. Yeah. If it comes, it comes. If it don't come, it doesn't bother us. So you must remember that. So that is the point that we need to understand. What did Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell Abu Dharr radiallahu an? Qulil haqq, authentic hadith in Musnad Ahmad. Qulil haqq walau kana murra. Ya Abu Dharr, always speak the truth, even though the truth is bitter. So when we expose them what they did in the court, when we expose them regarding their so-called halal certificates, when we expose them regarding their Sharia compliant, when we expose them regarding the cartoons and all these issues, so obviously that they feel it. We told them, we sent out a message that these 10 organizations, you must not give zakat, lillah. So all this, yeah. So when we are exposing these things, yeah, so obviously they feel very, very hurt. It's obvious. But we don't want to cover and conceal the truth. We have to expose the truth and expose the lies that the ummah is being fed with. So therefore, it's imperative upon us that we have our own organizations that will promote and advocate the pure and true teachings of Islam.
I see somebody says, at my home, my daughter is the man of the house, dear Mufti Saab. What she says goes. I have no say as she pays for everything. I feel ashamed to be her dad. We are just two pensioners under her control. What is more important than the dua, Ustad?
We must remember that how come you allowed it to happen like this? So when she was young, you as parents, did you have ta'aleem? Did you teach her what is the value of parents? You yourself are guilty to a great extent. You only showed her, get a BA degree, get a BCom degree, get this degree, and so forth. Now she is getting 100,000, 50,000, 40,000 a month. You are getting 2,000, 3,000, whatever your pension, and so forth. So now you will be at her mercy because she holds the purse strings, and so forth. So you have to have a heart-to-heart talk with her. First, you husband and wife, you father, mother, you must have a meeting, the two of you, joint strategy. How are we going to address her and tell her? And then the next one, you must remind her all the sacrifices you all made when she was a baby and so forth and so on. And now today with the degrees, with the money she wants to fly, so read for her and show her Surah 17, verses number 23, 24, 25. Surah 17, verses 23, 24, 25 and so forth. So in that way there, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will soften her heart and you may make dua. But remember, you are to blame and she's 100% wrong in what she's doing. Okay, it's just now time for the news with Maulana Zahid Khan, inshallah. So remember that 12 o'clock will be the news, and thereafter Brother Alameen Templeton, inshallah, with the current affairs. Then 1 o'clock to 1:30, 1:05 to 1:30, Surah Namal, verses 65 to 75, 1:30 to 2 from the archive, Surah Araf, 186 to 188, 2 to 3 o'clock, Madrasa on A with Mohana Zahid Khan, 3 to 3:30, the repeat of this morning's Q&A, very interesting. Brother Alfred became Muslim, he became Adnan, mashallah. 3:35 to 5, Brother Lameen Templeton, inshallah, with the business news and views. 5 to 7, inshallah, Mohana Khalid Yaqub from Durban Studio. 7 to 7:30, the repeat of today's tafsir. 7:30 to 8, Mohana Yunus Patel, Rahimullah's advices. 8 to 10 will be Brother Shafaat Ahmad Khan, the month after dinner. And remember, 10 to 11 will be Sheikh Anwar Al-Awlaki. Barakallahu feek. Listen to the news now with Mohana Zahid Khan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was our beloved Fadilatul Ustad. We're going to go now, inshallah, for the 12 o'clock news with Hazrat Mohana Zahid Khan.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.